What's up, guys? Welcome to the Road Podcast, the podcast where we talk about overall well-being, health, and all the crazy things that happen on this road that we call life. I'm your host, Jonathan Shane. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Road Podcast. Today, we have a guest, Miss Crystal Sykes. I really am excited for this podcast recording, so much so that I had five more lined up before it, but I moved it to the front. We recorded this last week, and I was so excited to get this out. Crystal is a bodybuilder. She is an entrepreneur. She is a mom. She is a wife. She is a fantastic woman all the way around. I love her. Love her. I'm really excited about this podcast episode because I know that the past couple episodes, go back and listen to them, we've talked about women needing to flex out of keto and things like that. And Crystal brings a really good perspective on that. She's been strict keto for as long as she's been keto, 7 years going on now, I believe. And it's really important to understand that there are things that you need to address before going that far with your diet. And you may need to still go that far with your diet, but she really talks about how she was able to address hormonal issues and things like that going without having to do that. And so I'm really excited about this podcast episode. I think you're going to get a lot out of it. I think it's going to make you take a step back and reanalyze some things. I think that you're going to get a lot out of it in terms of mindset. You're going to learn a bit about how to deal with when if you've been chronically under eating and how to rebound from that. We talk about being a mom. We talk about homesteading. We talk about all kinds of things. I absolutely loved this episode, and I know you're going to get a lot out of it going into the new year. So without further ado, sit back and enjoy. And welcome back to another episode of the Road Podcast. I am here with a very special guest, Miss Crystal Sykes, the Lady Savage herself, guys. Super excited about this. She's a good friend. I've known her for, she knew me before I was even a coach in this space. She's seen the whole come up. So, and I'm really excited to have her on. How are you doing today, Crystal?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Jonathan.
No, absolutely. I have so many things. I feel like last time I saw you, we were at KetoCon and we kind of got like to ask each other a few questions about life, but like, you know, there's no time to really sit down in there. So I'm excited to have this conversation because I have so many things I want to talk to you about.
Yeah, me too. And I always feel like Robert's around. Robert like owns the conversation. So I get some one-on-one time with you now.
Yeah. He's not here. Good riddance. No. okay. So for those that don't know you, you know, just kind of like general elevator speech. Who are you? Who is Crystal?
I am Crystal Sykes. I am a co-owner with my husband, Robert, of Keto Brick and Live Savage Apparel. And my husband is Robert Sykes, the Keto Savage. It's usually how people find out who I even am. we've just been kind of like in the keto space for a little while. I previously competed in a bodybuilding competition and just been on my keto journey, I think, for almost 7 years now, which is wild. Mm-hmm. Just kind of promote health, fitness, all the good things. Just had my first baby 7 months ago. So there's that too. That's pretty much me in a nutshell.
I love it. No, I love it. But there's it's one thing. I don't know. You say all that, but like, that's a lot. That's a lot. There's so many things to dive into there. So first of all, I kind of want to start because especially because the podcast series that we're talking on is the woman about women's health. And I feel like your story is really unique. And I think that it can give some women a lot of direction, and they'll find out as we dive into the podcast. But kind of give us a quick rundown of like, why did you start trying the ketogenic diet? What was it like at first? Did it work really well? What kind of adjustments did you have to make? How did all that come about?
All right. So a little backstory is about 7 years ago, I guess, I was having major stomach issues. We couldn't figure out what it was. I went to doctor after doctor. They like could not figure it out. I did a whole bunch of tests. And essentially what it came down to was I have gastroparesis, which is just a slow moving of the stomach, which is like literally gastric is your stomach and then paresis is paralysis. So my stomach just didn't work very quickly. And a lot of food would just get stuck in there. I had like crazy bad heartburn, indigestion, like GERD, And then I also found out that it was in my intestines as well. So not only was my stomach really slow, but my intestines were as well. So they had me on this super high. It wasn't like they said, go eat a bunch of sugar, but they pretty much did. They said, we want you eating things that will digest very quickly and absorb fast. So just do a bunch of shakes. They wanted me to do a liquid diet, shakes with fruit and things like that in it. And Robert was like, you're going to kill yourself. You're going to give yourself diabetes, like something, this is not right. You're not getting enough protein, blah, blah, blah. He had already been doing keto, because he started doing it for his bodybuilding, career. And, I was like, I'm never doing that. I like my pastries. I like my sugar. I like my stuff. Even though those are the things I wasn't supposed to be eating. I ended up trying it the first time and I said, this is the worst thing I've ever done in my life. I hate it. I wanted to go binge on carbs all the time and I didn't feel like I actually felt better. So I went back to carbs and realized I did feel better, but just very slightly. And I started putting the carbs back in and I probably did that for like a month or so. And I was like, okay, I'm going to give this keto thing another shot. And Robert kind of helped me break it down. Like rather than just introducing a bunch of food, we slowly did the liquid diet, but keto-fied it. So we did like fat shakes instead of like a whole bunch of sugar shakes. And then we slowly started introducing real food back in. And then I just hadn't turned back since. Like it took me a long time. Like it took me months to actually start to feel better. I noticed initially like the bloating kind of went away. My menstrual cramps, I was literally just texting a couple of friends about this. I had really bad cramps from like when I was like 15 or 16, on. They were so bad that I literally would pass out. But when I went keto, like maybe like a year in, my cramps just like weren't really a thing. Like I never took medicine anymore. I never did. And it was just like, what the heck? But I think as like my intestines were not as inflamed and irritated, it also affected how my whole female aspect of things also reacted. So anyways, it was really cool. I mean, it's literally changed my entire life. And I just haven't turned back since. I just keep going and doing the thing and it feels amazing.
No, I love it. Something that you said, you know, it took a couple months to adjust, and I'm finding, especially when it comes to women's health, just because y'all do have, you know, y'all's 30-day cycles, 28-day cycles, that things don't happen very quickly, especially like the deep root cause issue stuff. And there's this common theme in these conversations that it takes a while to adjust it. You know, it takes consistency and really adhering over the long term, because a lot of people, they start something keto or carnivore or whatever, and they do it for like 30 days and they don't feel good or things are, you know, and they just give up. They just throw in the towel. And I think that we live in such a fast paced world that 30 days feels like a really long time, and it's not a long time for your body at all. So I definitely resonate with that. You know, it took a couple months, but I'm glad it worked. I mean, because I didn't know you before you were keto, so it sounds like there was a lot of issues, and I'm really glad that you healed from those. That's awesome.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it was not the best time in my life, and I don't even know how Robert was dating me. Like there was days I literally just didn't get out of bed because I just felt so horrible, and Robert would just look at me and like, is there anything I can do? Like, you know, Robert, he's just kind of like a go, go, go kind of guy. So to have a girl that's just laying there dying, a little rough, but.
So you jumped into the bodybuilding and so you did keto for a while. And then I remember, cause you did your prep after y'all started keto brick, correct? This was after y'all started keto brick.
So I started weightlifting and keto within like a month or two time span, and then gotcha. We moved to Arkansas I'm trying to remember what year I competed in. 2018, mm-hmm. And that's the same year that we started keto brick. That's the same year that we launched, but I had started keto a year or two before that.
Okay.
And then and then my competition was Yeah, so mixed together there.
Yeah. So let's talk about this. So you started lifting weights, and I've worked out with you and Robert, and I don't want to even say for a woman, because I know plenty of women that are strong that'll get sound bited, but you're really strong. You're
Well,
really
thank
strong.
You.
I remember when you prepped, you know, I saw some of your like what you eat in a day videos and things like that, and I know those are all on your YouTube channel. I'll link that so people can go watch them. What was that like? What was it like prepping? Because I know it's different between men and women, the prepping experience in a lot of ways. What was that like for you?
Well, I think the whole prep was actually amazing. I really enjoyed the whole process. I liked the aspect of being really strict as well. But there was some challenges. Like it was, I had watched at that point Robert go through two preps, I think. And so I kind of anticipate, like I knew what to anticipate. But Robert being a male and me being a female, like I already had more body fat than he had anytime he started a prep. So, by the time it was the end of my prep, I was really pushing extra cardio, really pushing myself to do the weights, lift the weights. It took a little bit more out of me than I think I was prepared to at the end. I still loved every second of it, but it definitely, I feel like there was definitely an extra push, because I was holding on to more fat. But I also, you know, part of competing is like your cycle. And I did end up losing my cycle. I can't really remember how far out I was from show day, but that is kind of something to anticipate. And I think it was actually, I feel like I only lost it for like a chunk. Like, I don't remember, like, I can't remember even, it was a few years ago, but, part of it was at the end of my prep, but it was after I had actually started to increase my calories back up as well. But competing overall was an amazing experience. I think there's definitely some things like I would do differently, even just like the mental aspect of things, because I wasn't super mentally strong then, even though I did everything to the T. I think I could now handle and challenge myself even more than I did then.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, because I remember, so I've done two preps, and the last one was COVID, and that was not fun, but I was much more mentally like hardened. Like the second one, in terms of following my diet, was way easier than the first one for me. So I understand like that mental toughness, the mental fortitude, like it gets reinforced every time you do it over and over again. So I understand that. What, and you got first, right? You got first overall on that, didn't
yes.
you?
Mm-hmm.
Crush
yep.
it.
And Robert proposed to me on stage. So it's best day of my life.
Oh, butterflies. I love it. It's great. So I love it. What was the reverse diet, the post comp like for you?
So this is the area that I think that I would definitely excel in now. And I really failed myself then. After my show, so usually what people do after their show is they go out and eat a really big meal and they enjoy it and they have all the things. And then they get back on the reverse diet train. And they reverse themselves back up, slowly increasing their calories over a few weeks. Well, I went to a Brazilian steakhouse. Awesome. Had all the meat. Then I went back to the hotel and I had made a keto brownie and I had that. But I kind of let myself enjoy food like that for like 2 days, I think maybe three. And I definitely hit something in my mind, I guess. Where there was a bottomless pit in my stomach and I felt like I had to fill it every single day. So I started binging and just not telling anyone. I didn't tell Robert. It was not a thing I talked about. I just would eat and eat and eat. And there was a point where I was like, okay, I'm just going to do carnivore. Like I'm just going to eat meat. And maybe like a little bit of cheese. And I still binged on food at that point. So it wasn't even like the types of foods that I was eating. It was just like, I needed food. So I was binging and then I felt guilty. So I would purge and it was just a terrible cycle. And I was in that for quite some time. I gained 30 pounds in 3 months, which for me is not a thing. Like I've never really gained weight quickly and I've also never really lost it quickly. I've kind of just like maintained in the same like safety net. And so that for me was like really hard because I went from the leanest I've ever been in my life, the best like fitness type of shape that I've ever felt like I looked like, to actually the heaviest I've ever been in my life, and in a span of 3 months. And it was just like the worst feeling mentally. And then looking in the mirror and being so frustrated at myself that I like put in all that work and effort and then just threw it all away. And then I was also like mentally trying to work on how to get over that. And I was trying to do it by myself. And ultimately it took me confiding in Robert and just saying like, look, I've messed up. I've been doing this. I've been hiding it from you. And I think he did know, but I don't think he knew to the degree that I was taking it. Like I would leave the house to go to the store to get food to binge. And it was like, I wanted to get away so that I could go eat, which is, it sounds crazy, but that's what I was doing. And so it took me confiding in him and just being like, I have to stop this and I have to figure it out. And really he just kind of helped to guide me through that. And I didn't really do anything crazy. I didn't start tracking macros again. Cause I didn't feel like that was good for me. I felt like that was almost more of a trigger than just enjoying healthy foods that I could fill up on, like meat first and things like that. So it was definitely, post show was a struggle bus for me, but, I think it's taught me a lot of lessons and actually helped me become a better coach and a better person for those also struggling with the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I appreciate you being vulnerable with that. I feel like a lot of people can resonate with that in terms of like, you know, because clients that I've worked with, they don't prep for bodybuilding shows, but I, you know, the space that we work in, that we live in, there's a lot of extreme. And, you know, you get people that are, you know, they're doing a 72-hour fast every week on the week. And they just, and then on the days they do eat, it's like an OMAD. And they like, but they do, they get in this habit of like secretly binging and eating and doing all this stuff. And then they're gaining weight and they don't know why. And it's because they're like starving themselves and then they're overeating. And it's just like this vicious cycle that they can't seem to get out of. And I think that, so they don't do it purposely because they don't like go through like the prep thing, but I definitely think that they take on the same kind of elements that a prep will, except especially towards the end of one, and they're doing it because some person on Instagram told them to do so. And I'm pretty sure that I mean I know there's people out there that I've had to work with and have worked with, and I'm sure you have too, that are kind of in a similar situation. What I know you talked about confiding and you know, in your significant other and things like that, but what other, like, if they're listening right now, they're like, oh my gosh, that is me. Like, how do I get out of this? Crystal, tell me.
I think honestly, focusing a lot on weight training helped me a lot, because it made me realize that like the food that I'm eating is fuel for my body for my workouts. So that was really helpful. And actually that was like, that's the point in my lifting that I got my heaviest weights, because I just decided like, if I'm going to eat and enjoy the food that I'm enjoying without tracking, I'm going to put it to you. So I started lifting heavy freaking weights, for me at least. And then again, like I said, I stopped tracking my food. I stopped using a macro tracker because I just felt like, for me, that was, it was more of a trigger than it was helpful. I eventually just started putting minimums on myself. So I wanted to make sure that I was eating enough, which obviously wasn't my problem, but, I knew that I was trying to somewhat look at my portions and just make sure I wasn't eating crazy. I didn't allow myself snacks. I only ate meals, but I had like 3 large, healthy meals a day. And then as I was kind of paying attention to those portions, slowly over time, I kind of worked myself back into like, okay, how can I start to somewhat track my food without overwhelming my mind? So I started putting minimums, like, I want a minimum of, these are just numbers, these are not exactly what I did, like 120 grams of protein, or like 150 grams of fat or whatever. I would choose minimums of like, I don't want any less than this. And then for carbs, I kind of put a cap on it and just said like, I don't want any more than this. So
yeah.
That was really helpful as like my next stepping stone after just saying like healthy foods, meals only, no snacks, no tracking, all of that.
I love that. And I think that's great advice. Ooh. So, okay. So you get done with prep. I'm kind of going down the timeline in my head right now.
Yeah.
So you get done with prep and you know, you go through all that. Wait, was there it? Cause I know you've been, and you've been strict keto for the past 7 years, right? Like you've never went off. Love that. Ooh. Okay. So have there been any issue? Has there been any time in this journey where you've dealt with metabolic issues or hormonal issues of any kind at all?
Yeah. Yeah. So after, I guess it was probably within that year after my prep, we had started Keto Brick. We had moved 3 hours from where we were. We were living in a warehouse. We were like doing all the things. We were trying to plan our wedding and like our life was kind of chaotic and stressful. And I was binging and all the things. So I was a little bit messed up at that point, and I actually started working with Allie Miller and we got my hormones tested. I thought maybe something was wrong with my thyroid. I was also like pretty like depressed, even though I feel like that should have been the happiest time of my life. I just won a competition and I was planning my wedding and like our business was built, like growing and all that. And it was evident to the people around me that I was also going through something. So I kind of just said like, I really have to figure it out. So I did get testing done with Allie, and honestly, nothing was going wrong as far as like sex hormones. Those were all real great. Was pretty flawless in that aspect of things, but I did have some like cortisol, adrenal issues and stuff going on. I was really overly stressed, and that was a lot of what I had to kind of work on. So a lot of my stuff was more, yeah, I did focus on some food aspects of things, but it was more of like finding peace and like breathing techniques and how like using GABA and like all of those things to just kind of chill myself out. So yes, there was some stuff that I had to work on there, but not specifically like sex hormone stuff.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. During that time, and I promise I'm not prying. I am prying, but I want to get to a point. Were you ever encouraged during that time to try to use carbs as a tool to like heal from those things?
Yeah. So Allie Miller and I, cause she was the one I was working with. She had suggested maybe I increase my carbs, and I said, I don't really want to. I said, I feel better without it because I started keto because of my gut. And I said, every time I increase my carbs, my stomach feels worse. And I don't want to sacrifice that in order to, you know, fix all these other things that are going on. And she was like, totally get that. You can actually, a lot of times, instead of increasing your carb count, you can actually just eat in a surplus, which is a huge shocker to a lot of people. If you are someone who doesn't want to eat carbohydrates, you can actually have like keto caloric refeeds, which is just like an increase in calories. And it essentially does the same thing. I don't want to say that for everyone, but for certain things or certain hormonal issues or whatever, that can create the same situation in your body that you're kind of searching for. So that's more of what we did. We made sure that I was eating plenty, and then changed kind of like some of the types of foods that I was eating. I was eating a little bit like of sprouts. And then I did at that point incorporate like a couple of berries into a smoothie, which like wasn't a thing I did ever. But that was really it. And then like just learning when to fuel my body, like before or after a workout. What a lot of people were like into this big old fasting thing, like fast before your workout, fast after your workout, fast all the time. And I was just like not eating until later in the day. And she said, hey, you're working out so early in the morning, you might want to incorporate something after your workout. So I did. So it was a lot more like meal timing, how much am I eating, and just like making sure that I'm using the right food to fuel properly. But like never increased my carbs. I don't think I've really been over. Well, even during my pregnancy, I was the max I ever really got my carbs was 35.
That's amazing. No, and that's one reason I wanted to have you on in general, but I wanted to have you on during this because I've been having conversations with other women that we have talked about, you know, increasing carbohydrates. And, you know, I've had clients that we've done that, but I think it's really important that it's not everybody needs that. And it's in context. And like, you're a great reminder that like, you don't have to do that. There's so many other things that need to be addressed first. Like, are you eating enough? Are you managing your stress? Are you getting good sleep? Are you, you know, lifting heavy crap or breathing work? Like all this stuff that you can do. And like something I posted today that just, I was thinking about like this conversation and just like all my experience. And it's just like, I said, don't use people's absolute needs as an excuse for your impulsive indulgences. Mm-hmm. And it's like people like, cause people will read like, oh, well, I did this. And it's like, oh, you know, I really miss sweet potato. And it's like, but do you really need it? Have you addressed everything else you need to address? And or is everything good and you just want to make an excuse? Because that's disordered habits right there. If you're trying to make an excuse to give into something when everything's fine, that's not okay either. And I really love that you've found other ways around it where you've been able to stick with it and address like root cause and deal with the root cause problems in other ways that allow you to stick to a strict ketogenic diet. I think it's really unique. And I think there's a lot of women out there that can do that and should do that, especially if they're struggling with like, you know, some kind of negative eating tendencies, or because I don't want to say eating disorder, because not everybody that has like bad habits has eating disorder, right. You know, but yeah, no, that's why I think it's such a good conversation to have, because I feel like, again, I think there's a difference between someone trying to treat a root cause and somebody using Instagram posts as an excuse to go eat cupcakes in the bakery, you know?
Yeah, I think that was, I think, the struggle mostly when a lot of people started saying like, oh, we can have carbs. Like a lot of people in the keto space started saying it all at the same time. And I think that there can be benefits for certain people, but I think it wasn't directly spoken to those people. It was spoken to like the masses. Mm-hmm, and then mm-hmm. It wasn't really said like, these are the kinds you want to have. These are what you want to stay away from. It was like kind of thrown out, like if it fits your macros, you know,
yeah.
People want to eat cupcakes and cookies, you know, just like, if you're going to eat another option, or if you're going to eat more carbs, and like have these options instead. And I think that the best thing that you can do for your body is just eat whole food in the first place. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing that, then what harm could you be doing, you know? And then try to like get it like tighter and tighter to fit you and your body and what feels good for your athletic abilities or your work or whatever it is that you're doing. Everyone's kind of got to adjust to their own needs.
Yeah, no, absolutely. In fact, I had a DM conversation because I posted something about a certain subject and they DM me and they're like, man, I've been hearing this about this and this, and I tried to eat carbs and this, and I felt bad. And I'm like, well, why did you feel bad before? And they were like, no. And I was like, then why'd you do it? Like there's no reason, right? Like if you feel really good on just meat, then eat just meat. Like it should be about like what makes you feel the best. And like if you like, I don't know, and this is a, I don't want to go on a rant here, but like if you feel good and somebody tells you that that's wrong and you decide to do what they do, even if it makes you feel bad, really repeat that again in your head. Like that doesn't make any sense. But I think that there's this level of I don't even know the term for it. I guess I call it like shadow walking, where like you have like this influencer you really like and you kind of want to like walk in their shadow and you want to do exactly what they do, which is why like one thing I really respect about you is like you don't go out of your way to post your macros online, and because you don't want people to do that. You're like, don't do exactly what I've heard you say that. Like, don't do exactly what I do. That's no. Like I have some advice for you, but like figure out what works best for you and just go all in on it. And I think that there are especially like big people in the space sometimes that don't do that necessarily, and they're just like, do it this way, and if this isn't working, then you're just not doing it right.
Yeah, right. Oh yeah, I can totally get that. And you are right. I make sure to not post my macros, and if I do, I'm like, specifically, do not copy my macro ratio, my macros, my anything. Like I am sharing what I do for me. Figure out what works for you. And a lot of times I just like to do it for as an example, but I'm pretty good at like not saying ever, because I have had people do that where it's like, what are your macros? I want to do that. I want to know what, you know, it's like our bodies are totally different. Don't do that. You're crazy.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's weird too, because like, I feel like there's such a weird animosity in this space right now, because it's like, it's almost like if you do strict keto, there's people outside, because we have like our own internal like frictions and conflicts in this space, but don't get me wrong, there's a whole world out there that still absolutely hates this diet.
Oh,
absolutely
yeah.
hates absolutely. This idea. I deal with them all the time. they're mean people. But there's weird like animosities within our space with like the nuances of like higher protein or higher fat. And I know Robert has talked about this on his podcast, and you know, and it's just like, it's like, man, like people just, they're just so negative. They just want to hammer on each other. It's like, we want a reason to like point the finger and go, you're not doing it right, I'm doing it right. And it's just like, well, I mean, there's nuances to things. And I think I was thinking about this on my run this morning. I think that one of the problems with that is that people like quick fixes, and they just want like, okay, this is what I do, dot, 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 done. Right. And not the problem necessarily, maybe that's not the right word, but the thing is like, that works for 70, like if you give them 100,000 followers, dot, 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 that's an arbitrary number. I'm not saying anybody with 100,000 followers is doing this, by the way. Okay. But if you have 100,000 followers and you have a post and it's like, dot, 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 like 70% of the people that see that post, if they apply those five things, are going to find 1,000% success. Right. But it's like, what about those other seven? What about those other 30% of humans that maybe it's a little bit more nuanced, but they don't want to put in the work to figure out the nuance. They just want to be told what to do. And I think that's where people get in trouble. And so I don't think it's always like the coaches or the influencer or the person just sharing their life's fault. Sometimes it's the fault of the consumer that's not willing to look deeper into exactly what they need. And once they find what they need, whether that's full carnivore, whether that's strict keto, whether it's cyclic keto, whatever it might be, and just stick to their guns and stand firm in what works best for them, they don't even want to go through the process of figuring out what they need to stick their feet in to begin with. They just kind of want to like ride the train. And I think they're doing themselves an incredible disservice doing that.
Yeah. It's also like the same thing where, like I'll be on a call with someone and I'm like, hey, you know, 1,100 calories a day is not enough. Like, it's just not enough to fuel you. And we're going to need to do a reverse diet. And they're like, well, why don't I just start eating 2,000 calories? I'm like, cause you can't do that. You know, like you could, but you're going to feel like trash in the first place. And that's just not going to be beneficial for you in any way, shape or form. So let's reverse diet, you know, but again, people want the quick fix. They don't want it to take 3 months for them to reverse diet. They want an answer right now. How do I fix it now? And if they don't get that, they might just say like, well, screw it, I'm not going to work with you, or I'm not going to whatever, just because they want the answer to be in front of them, grab it and then go.
Yeah.
Which is just so hard because you want to help people. And I think even all of these other, you know, influencers and people in the space, everyone wants to help people. They're putting out the information to help people, but 100%. People are maybe grasping it and just like, this is what's going to fix my life. And then it doesn't, or they do it too drastically or too quickly, or they go all in and they're like, oh, maybe I should have like eased my way or whatever. I don't think there's anyone out there maliciously trying to like tell people like, this is what you need to do, and then trying to ruin people's lives.
No, I agree with that.
Accepting it, you know, like you're saying, people are accepting it in a weird way, like all or nothing kind of thing.
No, I agree. And I think that's why like that needs to be said, because I think that right. Like, and even on podcasts I listen to, like I've listened to some and they're like pointing the finger at like the doctor or the coach or the nutritionist or whoever. And it's like, okay, it's not all their fault. There is a consumer side of this. Like they have brains too. You don't have to listen to just one person. Listen to five, test things, experiment, and then apply. But it's like, we don't like taking ownership. So like when things go wrong, it's like, it's all their fault. They told me what to do. And it's like, they told you what worked for them and what they believe. You chose to believe that it was for you and it didn't work. Learn from it. Don't get mad and have a pity party. Learn from it and then figure out what works best, right? And yeah, so no, I like that.
That's good.
Yeah, and I don't know why it's came to my brain. You've tried carnivore, right? You don't do well in carnivore?
I've tried carnivore 3 specific times and I get so sick every single time. I actually thought I had a beef like allergy because I would get so bloated after doing carnivore. I was like trying to track everything, and then I would take like before and after pictures and whatever every time I ate because I was just so. And I actually worked with another coach. One of my friends was having success with this person, and I was like, okay, you know what? I'm gonna give it a shot too. And it was just real not good. That was like one of those I'm trusting this person to tell me what to do, and it was just a real bad. Like, I knew we shouldn't have got like dove in that quickly. But I've tried it. I've tried just carnivore, no tracking. I've tried high fat carnivore and I've tried high protein carnivore and none of them worked. And I think a lot of it just has to do with my GI stuff. And a lot of times I don't have flare ups. I feel real great with it all. But I eat pretty much the same foods pretty regularly just because I know it feels good. Mm-hmm. So when I messed it up and like just started eating meat, even if it was ground, it was like just my system was like not having it. So and it's not like I was having like a crazy reaction. I would just get like super bloated and just nauseous, and it was just not a good fit. And I tried it. I was like, I'm gonna do it for 30 days, and I was the 30-day person. And after that, I mean, it was just like, I am miserable. If I keep doing this, I just feel like I'm going to keep going downhill. So I would just call it, but I wanted to like finish the 30 days, you know? Yeah. And so like I did it because people are like, you just have to push through the first couple of weeks and you'll start to feel better. I'm like, I don't believe this, but okay. Yeah. But then I just finally said, that's not for me. That's it. Like, that's okay that it's not for me. I still think it's an amazing thing. I have clients that do it. And do extremely well or have major like autoimmune disorders, and it's like all reversed with carnivore. I'm like, yep. I wish I could be that person, but I'm not. So I do think it's an amazing thing. It's just not for me.
Oh yeah, it sucks too, because don't you know, Crystal, that plants are killing you? They're killing you.
There is so many. Oh my gosh, there's so much out there that I'm like. There are people who literally think plants are killing you. I'm like, I'm pretty sure like they've healed us also, you know. Yeah. Like there's just I don't know.
So. No, it definitely no. I agree. Like I just had a podcast recording with Leanne Vogel. Actually, it just released yesterday, and something she said, it stuck with me since she said it. She was like, you know, we talk about oxalates and stuff, and we don't have to go down this rabbit hole. But she's like. The doctor, her one of her mentors, was like, do we really think that humans are so weak that we haven't learned to deal with the toxins of plants when we digest them? Like, we've evolved and or adapted or been designed to handle all other kinds of things, you know, kill a mammoth, whatever. But spinach is the snare in our ankle. That's the killer, right? Like, saber-tooth tiger, lions, we've learned to conquer it all. It's the kale.
and it's like those things, and people are like, there's so many more toxins out there in the world that our bodies handle and get rid of like easily, you know, just because it like they were made to do that. So yeah, it is funny when people talk about like spinach or kale or whatever, like it's gonna be what kills you, but it's not really. So it's so interesting. People are just very like all or nothing. Some individuals are all or nothing, and it's like, whoo, we got to find a middle ground here, or people are just gonna not know what to eat ever.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's what I'm hoping for. I remember we were at KetoCon last year, or actually it's this year. Wow, it's still 2022, even though it feels like this year has gone by so fast. Yeah. But Robert asked me, he's like, what do you think is going to happen to the keto space? And it kind of stuck with me. I've thought about it on and off since that conversation. And what I'm hoping for is that at some point, a group of people or the community, like they find this middle ground of love and acceptance and conversation and open-mindedness while still believing in the nuances that work for them. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for a Jell-O moment. I'm rooting for it. I believe
I'll be there. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I believe. Okay, so Let's talk about being a mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is, I'm going to get to this part of the conversation. What's it like being a mother? Walk me through this.
Oh gosh, literally the world's best thing ever. My whole life I wanted to be a mom. And the last few years were just like an aching pain to become a mom. And now that I am one, it's like 50,000 times better than I thought it ever even could be. It's just the greatest.
No, that's amazing. Like I was gonna say, like when you sat down, I was like, man, she's glowing. Look at her. She looks like a mom. She's kicking it. She's kicking it.
Oh.
I love it. You know, and I don't even know where to begin with that because I have so many like thoughts. Like, you know, obviously I have a wife, so I live with a mother. And
Yep.
y'all are bosses, especially when like you have a career too, like whether you own a company or like she's a nurse. So like it's crazy, like the amount of work that is on that y'all do and y'all love to do. You wake up and do it intentionally is so unfathomable to me at times. It's just y'all are tanks. Moms are tanks.
I totally agree. I mean, it has it. I don't know even how to explain it. It's not, people say that it's hard. And I don't think that for me, that's the right word. There are hard days, there are long days, but I don't think it's hard. I think, I don't know. It's so easy. It's so easy. It's so what my body and heart and mind desire. That it's like it's everything I want and it's right there. I just have to do it. So it can be overwhelming at times and I might need a hand. But I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it. I just it's just so cool and there are hard days. But I think I have a couple of friends that we I don't even know how we really started talking, but it was like we all needed a mom friend and like a mom friend that was not going to judge and not going to whatever. And none of us live near each other. We've never met each other in person, but we all love each other so stinking much. And we were all just talking about how like society right now, it seems like people want you to hate being a mom. I don't know. It's not even like that. It's like there is so much like, let's talk trash about my kid. Let's talk about how hard this is, or let's talk about how like all the junky stuff or whatever. And it's like, I don't want to be a part of that. There are hard days. There are hard moments. There's really long days sometimes. There's days where your kid doesn't want to nap or whatever. But I love every hard moment because I know I'm going to look back on this time and be like, he was so perfect and little, and I loved every second. And I really think that like God puts something in you, like the moment that child is born, that he's like, here's like a bunch of extra patience and a bunch of extra kindness and a bunch of extra because you're gonna need it. And I really feel like that was instilled in me like slowly over my pregnancy. And then I became a mom and I just thought, I don't know that I would have been able to handle this before. But for some reason, like this little adorable chunk of goodness is just. He's just so cute. I can't even be mad at him. So, yeah.
No, I no, but I feel you. So my wife is an amazing mom, but she definitely is. She's on the high end of the autistic spectrum, and so it's like a social interaction, especially when she's working, can become a lot. And so Haley is me. She is a spitting image of her father, and high strung, talks a lot, moves a lot. You know me. Yeah, just me, but like a little girl. And it can really overwhelm Ashley at times. And she still does mom things and all that. She still functions through it, but she can just get really overwhelmed. And it's really interesting because I think it's a matter of perspective. Because I remember before we had a kid. Like I was told constantly, oh, your life's gonna be gone. Good luck. Like all this like stuff. And I'm like, I'm still excited to have a kid, but I'm kind of like, I wonder what this is gonna be like. I'm looking forward to experiencing this no life, you know? And I remember like the first like 3 months, Ashley had to have a C-section. So she was like, she could move, but like there was a lot of like laying in the bed and, you know, me cooking food and stuff, especially the first like week or two. But the bassinet was on my side of the bed. And so every 2-3 hours, I woke up, grabbed Haley, gave her to mom, grabbed Haley, put her back in the bassinet, you know, back and forth. That's just the way we did it. And I still trained for, I ran a marathon 3 weeks after Haley was born. I trained for it the whole time. And it was like, was it hard? Yeah. But looking back, like it wasn't that miserable because I didn't look at it as miserable. I was honored to care for my child. I was like, I think it's so much more a matter of perspective because I look at these experiences and I'm like, yeah, I mean, I woke up every 3 hours, but like, of course I did. I'm a dad. Why wouldn't I do that? And everybody else is like, oh, I had to wake up every 3 hours. And it's just like the view they have towards it is so, and I don't know, maybe there's some mind like depression going on there for sure. I know postpartum depression is this very serious thing. Yeah. I definitely don't want to put, you know, anything bad on that, but I think too, it's just the way that we look at the world. I think the level of optimism towards the family structure and kids is very like smushed right now, for a lot of reasons, I'm sure. Yeah, it's really interesting. It's really interesting because I'm the same. Like, I just like when Haley does something, like even when she does something like really annoying, she's on her terrible twos now. They're coming. They're coming. And she's amazing though, like 90% of the time. And then she'll throw a tantrum. And like in the moment, like I find myself going, but like I would not trade those moments for anything. Cause there's gonna be a time where like she's a teenager and she's not throwing tantrums. She's just giving me the silent treatment. She's not talking to me at all. Right. So like at least she's expressing herself to me, you know? And it's like I try to really hard to cherish those moments. And yeah, I like talking to other stay-at-home. I like talking to stay-at-home moms because like I'm a stay-at-home dad. Most of my work's done at home. And there's not a lot of like, there's no like, I tried looking for Facebook groups for stay-at-home. There's not a lot of stay-at-home dads that like entrepreneurs that work from home. So it's like, I'm like this weird person. I'm like, I'm not a mom, but like I'm an at-home parent. And I'm like, so when I talk to moms, I'm like, yeah, I resonate with that. Kind of, you know?
Yeah. That's funny.
For sure. So what oh yeah, I saw that video of Rigel gnawing on that shank. That was awesome. So awesome. So
yeah, that was his first food. He was the bone marrow, and he just like devoured it. He loved it so much.
Yeah, I slapped my knee when I saw that because I was like, why didn't I think of that? Because Haley's first food was butter, beef, and beef liver cooked and pureed. Because but you gave, I was like, man, I should just let her gnaw on a beef shank. I didn't even think about it. That's great. Well,
I wasn't gonna give it to him, so I literally just cooked the marrow out of it, and that's what I gave him at first. And then Robert's like, we should give it to him. You would. So we did, and he like literally cried when I took it away from him, like, bro, sorry, you can't just hang out with it all day.
Oh, what a savage. Savage.
Yeah.
What so since then, what is his diet been like?
So mostly he still breastfeeds. He'll eat like one meal a day right now. And I've been kind of like mixing it up. But so I planned to do this whole like baby led weaning thing, and then I got really freaked out that my kid was gonna choke and die. So I actually have been like blending things a little bit more, or mashing it or whatever. I talked to a lot of moms and I was like, what did you do? How are you not scared out of your wits to like feed your kid a chunk of something, you know? And they just said, just do whatever you feel like. They're like, we didn't do that. Our kid turned out fine. It's jaw, you know, cause they say there's like, it helps their jaw to develop when you can give them something to like chew on. Like, mm-hmm. I can't right now. Just too much. He's so little. So he has been eating. We did do, okay, let's see. We did the bone marrow. We've done avocado, yogurt. He's had peanut butter. They now say like introduce allergens early and often. So we use peanut butter, and he did totally fine with it.
No, that's good.
And then we've done a lot of like blended meat. So like we have elk and venison in our freezer. So we've been doing elk, venison, liver, and then I'll blend it with bone broth. Last week he had like blended. I cooked egg and bone broth together. So it was kind of like a...
Ooh, I've done that.
A little bit liquidy, but like still had some chunks in it. So he had that. And then, this week he has like cooked egg and beef mixed with it's mostly just meat and eggs, honestly. The only reason I really introduced the peanut butter was because we were told, like, introduce allergens early and often. That's the same thing with, like, the egg whites. Like, at first I just did the yolks, then I introduced the whites because that's an allergen. Dairy, and then the peanuts. And we don't eat a lot of peanuts or peanut butter, but I don't really want him to have an allergy to that. So I'm like, okay, whatever. So mostly he just eats meat, eggs, bone broth, some liver. Yeah, that's about it. But it's just like one meal a day. I'm about to up it to two times a day, one for breakfast, one for dinner. And I just started introducing food to him at like right before 6 months old. And now he just turned 7 months. So little by little.
I was more gutsy. I remember the first time, because Ashley, we did berries and I just like gave her blueberries. I didn't chop them up or anything. she never choked, but my mom saw it one time. She was like, she's like, why aren't you cutting these in half? And I'm like, I don't know. A total dad moment. I'm just like, here, you know, these should fit in your mouth.
That is so funny. Yeah. I can't handle it. Like, it freaks me out.
But you're braver with me. The peanut butter, the first time I gave her peanut butter, because my wife works at a hospital. And so we drove up to the emergency lane and I put peanut butter in her mouth and I stared and I waited.
That
and I was like,
so funny.
Right there. And I'm dead serious.
I don't like to take medication. Like, I'm a very don't take medication type of person for me and my family, but I did have Benadryl sitting on the counter.
Yeah.
So I did have that. I'm like, okay, if something happens, we have the Benadryl, we can rush out, you know, it'll be fine. But I was a little nervous. That was literally like the day before yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It's good that he's not, because I don't know how, obviously it will go with Rigel, but I know like with Haley, she loves meat, you know, because we raised her on meat. She drinks raw milk because she breastfeeds still like to bed, but like that's it. So like she drinks raw milk, she does meat and cheese, and she has this weird obsession with raw beef and liver. Like, weird.
I think I saw a video of that.
Yeah, I eat raw liver almost every day, but she kind of like a multivitamin thing, and she if she sees me, like she sees raw meat on the counter and she's right there, get me.
Oh my goodness. Me.
Like it's weird. Like we'll cook, like I'll cook steak and she'll take two or three bites. If I make like, if I get like a raw, because like we have this local ranch I get cows from sometimes. And if I have like a raw sirloin and I'm like, I'm in the mood for raw meat and I trust the meat, so I'll eat it because I'm weird. I like raw meat. And she'll eat like half the steak, like no problem. Just boom, 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 boom.
That's so crazy.
But sometimes she gets super picky. Like, and it's weird because like obviously, like I think that's one thing I've learned, like two things when it comes to feeding your baby properly. And this is something I didn't talk about a lot for a long time because I hadn't had a kid yet. So I didn't want to talk smoke, you know? Feeding them right. I'm completely convinced it impacts brain development and their ability for knowledge. She is so freaking smart. And I know there's genetics, and I know I assume that I'm a smart person. I know my wife is extremely intelligent. So I know there's some genetics there, but like, she is so smart and she's way bigger. She's taller than, she's like a 98th percent. She's a huge child, super muscular, super lean, super active, super aware. So I know the diet impacts that way, but I've also noticed like she ate meat and liver and all that for her entire life, but she still goes through her picky stages where she doesn't want anything but like peanut butter and strawberries. And like, we've had to find ways to like navigate that and ways that we're comfortable with. Like, you know, if she wants, like if she'll eat a sandwich, we have to like go buy like base culture keto friendly bread and, you know, cheese and meat and make sure it's the right kind of mayonnaise and right. And like, we have to find ways to like navigate when she's being picky. So she definitely does have her picky phases. So I'm glad she's not allergic to peanut butter, because when I want to get her fats up, because I'm all right, you've had like half of like, or a red banana, and you've had like half an apple, it's like, okay, you need fats, you're not getting any more carbs, right? You eat the peanut butter, right? And just like knowing that she can get that in is good, because there are some times that she definitely gets picky, and then there's other times where she'll eat a pound of raw meat, so it swings.
Yeah, I'm sure. We'll get to those days, I'm sure, but for right now he's pretty, actually he wasn't a big fan of the peanut butter.
Was he not?
No, like it was mixed in with yogurt. And so he liked the yogurt. So it was kind of interesting. He just, I don't know if he wasn't very hungry that day or what, but man, that kid is like, I will give him milk and then he'll eat a meal. And then I usually think, okay, he'll be good for a little while. It like immediately wants to feed again. It is just like, that's what he wants, you know? I'm like, okay, I love
it. Yeah. he's the baby savage. He's in bulk season. Okay.
Yeah, right.
He's trying to
yeah.
put on mass, man. No, I love it. I love it. Do you plan on, I don't know how much time do you, I don't know how much time you have.
I don't have a baby right now. So
do you plan on homeschooling?
Yes, that is our plan.
Oh, me too. I am terrified of it because I'm like, well, because I think about me and I'm like, it's not even her. It's like, do I have the ability to teach my child?
Yes, that's you also, know? Yeah, I have those feelings. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, there's like criteria and all of that that like will help you, especially in the younger years. What I've decided, or Robert and I have decided together, is we would like to at least start them off homeschooling. And then if they say, hey, mom, I really want to go to a school, that we would probably try to navigate the private school before we went to a public school. And just like depending on funds and all that kind of stuff. But I would like to start now saving for that because I just have a feeling that at some point, maybe middle school, high school, something like that, they might just want to try it out. And if they want to try it out for a year and then they hate it and they want to come back home, then that's fine. But if there's a chance that they say, hey, I really want to go to school or I want, you know, whatever, I want them to have the opportunity that they choose. I don't want to force them to be home, but I feel like in the younger years, I can do it. And then as they like age, I'm going to be like, what did I get myself into?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's my opinion too. Like it was really important to me that like up until probably middle school and if I can really push it high school that I was able to, because I think maybe not every parent, but I feel like most parents should at least have this desire to instill the values that they approve of for goodness and godliness and all that in their child. And I feel like when you, and of course I understand, let me say this first, don't soundbite me. I understand that there are parents that can't do this due to financial circumstances and, you know, and just situations of life. I get that. But I definitely think that if you can avoid it, there is extreme benefit to being able to not let somebody else that has completely different ideals than you that you don't want have your child for 8 hours a day for the most impressionable parts of their life. And so even if that's like, you know, elementary school, the middle school, I homeschool. And I, you know, when she's, cause I know when she turns 13 and 12, that area, we're going to start butting heads. I know it's going to happen. I hope not, but who knows? I'm just preparing myself. And if I can grit through that, I can at least give her a strong foundation to where when I do let her out into the public space and her teachers and friends in the world, she has a strong foundation to where she can combat morals and ideas that she doesn't necessarily agree with in a way that allows her to stand firm in who she is and her identity. So I would rather like homeschool at the beginning and then let them loose than like let them loose and then go, oh crap, let's homeschool you. Oh gosh, this isn't good.
Yeah. Even right now, like I'm having such a hard time, like sometimes navigating work and spending time with him. It's like, I try to get all my work done while he's napping, but if he doesn't nap, then I don't have the time for the work and you know, all of that. So, but I also like, it makes me want to cry thinking about someone else helping to take care of him. Mm. Like I can't. And I'm like, he's only 7 months. Like it's okay that I feel that way. I'm allowed to feel that way.
Yeah, girl.
But yeah, even like just thinking about that in the future of like sending it, and not that it's wrong. And so many people do it and it's not a bad thing to do. It's just like, for me, it doesn't instinctually feel right to send him to a daycare or to preschool or to school or whatever. So luckily I have a great husband who also agrees with me on that. And we planned for Rigel. And so when we planned, we knew kind of like what that was going to look like and how much I was going to need to stay home or teach him or whatever. So that was really good. Like it wasn't just like a surprise. Here you go. Here's a kid. You got to do all the things with him. It was like, we planned for this and luckily things worked out that way. to where I can follow through with what we, you know, so desired.
No, same. We planned and it's working out. And I get that though, because there are times that like the coaching gets busy or like other things get busy. And I'm like, should I find a daycare? And like, just the fact that thought even crossed my mind, I'm just like, John, you would never, you know, like I can't do it. I just can't do it. Like, yeah. Like I would rather like, and I told Ashley this, right? Because Ashley has a really good career and I have big goals for the things that I'm working on and building. But if I had to choose between those and my child, knowing the situation I'm in, I would quit everything. It would all go. I would burn it all. Like, and I told Ashley, I was like, I would literally just burn it all. It would all just burn overnight. I have no hesitation. Would I cry a bit? I would cry a little bit. Sure. Yeah. I'd be a little sad, but like, I would give up the world for that child. I'd give up a world for Haley. So I totally, yeah, I resonate with that for sure. I couldn't, yeah. I instinctually for me, it's like, no, I don't feel like this is what God wants me to do. Cause I know that as a father that lives at home, I have a really unique position where I can pour into my child in ways that other fathers don't get to. And I don't want to squander that for the sake of opportunity, you know?
Mm-hmm. So. Yep. Absolutely. Totally agree with everything you just said. Like, I feel that deep in my soul.
Yeah. No, 1000%. All right. So speaking of that, though, work and stuff, what's on the horizon for the Lady Savage?
The Lady Savage, I'm going to say not a whole lot as far as a brand. Mm-hmm. But like Robert and I, so we bought property and we moved our warehouse and all the things. Now we have a baby, and so we are growing that aspect of our life, the homestead, that kind of thing. So actually what's going to be growing more is our Live Savage side of things. So actually, like, I was just making a post for Live Savage, Instagram, where, yeah, we are actually, so we have the Lady Savage Instagram and Keto Savage Instagram, but Live Savage is going to be our kind of hub for all things like homesteading and, you know, raising our kids and what we're feeding them and like family pictures and all of that. And like the Lady Savage and Keto Savage is going to be mostly just like keto and fitness. So I'm really excited for that because I think that's going to be like my outlet. I'll be able to like write blogs about even just like his birth story, you know, like that was unique in itself, like what we had planned versus what we had. And just kind of trying to connect with people on a different aspect than like I have been, which I love the nutrition and fitness aspect of things. But as I'm diving into this other section of my life that I've always wanted to build, like raising pigs, raising chickens, you know, how I'm going to can food and store it and, you know, what I'm going to feed Rigel and how I'm going to meal prep that. And, you know, all those different kinds of things, especially as I'm learning it, because there's some things like I've raised pigs before, but I did it when I was living with my parents. So I'm sure there's parts of it that I didn't see, like the financial aspect of it or, you know, whatever. So that's kind of my next thing, is like diving into Live Savage and just sharing with everyone like different aspects of our life and just like how we do it all. I don't know. So I'm really excited about that because it's just new. It's different. It's something that we've always wanted to build out, but we just hadn't done it yet. We didn't have a house. We didn't have property. We didn't have a kid. And now it feels like it'll like flow smoothly now.
Yeah, well, I'll definitely be tuning into that because I about two years ago, I just all of a sudden I was looking at the world and life and I got this overwhelming just urge to learn how to grow food and hunt. And I'd never hunted. I'd never been hunting. My family doesn't go hunting. I had no idea how to do any of it. I had no idea how to grow food, how to garden. My great grandparents were farmers, but I didn't know that until like 8 months ago. And yeah, they grew potatoes. They had a potato farm. That's how they made their living. And but I just got obsessed with it. So like I've been like growing my own food for the past 2 years and a lot of cucumbers. Not a lot of, I'm still learning, right? It's like, hey, if you want to learn, cucumbers, they're monsters. But just like learning like what soil nutrients looks like, worms, compost, how to plant seeds, when to plant seeds, how to pollinate plants, you know, like learning all this stuff. And I definitely, we have plans to move to Kentucky in 2023, because that's where, announcement. her family lives, because it's not set in stone yet, but her family lives just southeast of Louisville.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so we want to move out there to be closer to
them.
I know
you guys have visited out there before, so that it's connecting. I get it. Okay.
Yeah. So we want to move out there. I really want to raise animals. I want goats, and I want pigs and chickens. Like, those are like the three big ones that
Let me just forewarn you about the goats, man.
They're wild, but I want dairy goats. I just want to like,
yeah, that's what I wanted. I still want goats. My brother and sister-in-law have goats, and they're always escaping, like always. And so I was like, maybe I'll get a dairy cow instead.
I guess the cow seems like it's so much more time and expensive, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I assume because of size, but maybe the cow's too big to go anywhere. Like, I don't know. but I just have this obsessive like thought of like waking up in the morning with my cup of coffee and like going outside and sitting down and like squirting the udders into the can and then get one into my coffee, you know, like going inside with my pail of fresh raw milk and having eggs and butter and bacon with like a, you know, like picking maybe a couple like strawberries off my garden. Like I have like this vision. So I'll be staying tuned, because like I want that for our family too. I'm very obsessed with it. It's a plan in the back of my head.
I think so many people want to do it. And honestly, like there's urban gardening, there's urban, like, mm-hmm. you know, being able to do things like in an apartment complex and, mm-hmm. you know, things like that. But people just think, oh, I have to have a ton of property to start. Like, we don't have a bunch of property, and we want to have more, but we have enough to like have, you know, some pigs and chickens and goats and things like that. But you also need to like figure out, okay, how many acres do we have? How many animals per acre, depending on the type of animal, what kind of grasses do they need to eat, all of that kind of stuff. So there's so much to figure out. We are still actually working on building fence. So there's that, and we're not hiring someone to build fence. So we're doing it ourselves, you know, so everything is going to be done by us, you know? So I think it'll be fun to document it. I think it'll be fun because I really do feel like a lot of people want to do it, and we're just regular people trying to learn also. So I think that'll be a fun aspect of things, where it's like, we just totally jacked this up because we don't know what we're doing, but
yeah,
now you know not to do it. Yeah, you know. Yeah.
I've done that even with my garden. Like, things will die, and I'm like, oh, okay, that was my fault. That was dumb. Yeah, no, I totally get that. No, that's exciting. That's exciting. So, where can everybody go to watch all of this unfold? Where can they find Crystal?
So all of my fitness nutrition stuff is the.lady.savage on Instagram. There's a Lady Savage Facebook group, and then there's ladysavage.com. And then we will have all of the Live Savage stuff. Right now it's just going to be on Instagram and Facebook, and then later on there will be a website and all the things. But it'll be under Live Savage, plain and simple. And then, yeah, we have all the other aspects of the business, but you find me and you'll be able to find everything else.
Love that. I will put that all in the show notes for everybody. Well, Crystal, it was awesome. I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. It was good to chat with you.
Absolutely. Well, I'll definitely have to have you back on. I have a lot of other things that there's so much more I want to talk about, but we don't have time. We'll be here all day. It'd be like a Joe Rogan Experience podcast. Not kidding. But no, but seriously, I really appreciate you coming on, and I look forward to chatting again.
Yep, me too. Thanks.
All right, bye.